Hey guys, before I take you to today's content, I want you guys to take advantage of our Pro Web Legal Services initiative that we have going on right now in the second quarter of 2024. What is that? Well, it's a website that you get 100% full-blown website with 1 year maintenance, because with SSL certificate, hosting, etc., all for 50% less than the normal cost. This offer used to be $4,500. We're now giving it to you for $2,250, 100%, no strings attached. All you have to do is go to the show notes right now and click on the link where it says Pro Web Legal, and you'll get all the information. So until then, enjoy the show. Hey guys, as you know, I always try to bring you something different each week as I run this show. And this episode of Meet the Attorney is no different. As a matter of fact, this one is going to surprise a lot of you, because I'm going to introduce you to an attorney that I feel is more than just an attorney. I don't want to say more than that, because I really want you to enjoy the show, because I think you're going to get a lot out of it. This is a very dynamic individual. So without further ado, enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms, the podcast that provides you with all the latest digital marketing tools, tips, and strategies you will need to implement in order to stay ahead of your competition. If you are looking to substantially increase your caseload in the next 6 months, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's the host of our show, the local business guy himself, Frank Deming.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Frank Deming, the local business guy. Welcome to another episode of Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Happy hump day. I hope you guys are having a rocking a week thus far. Today is Meet the Attorney. I have a really, really wild show for you today, because you have never met an attorney like this person I'm about to introduce you to. And I'm going to tell you who she is right now. Her name is the great Karen Fultz. How's it going, Karen?
Oh, it's wonderful this morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. I am privileged to have you on the show, because you have an amazing story that I want to share with my audience. And I think they're going to find it as amazing as I do. So with that, can you tell me who are you and what do you do?
Absolutely. So Karen Fultz, and I am an attorney / marathoner / fashion designer / former assistant dean, former law professor. Where do you want me to stop?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's go on the whole law thing. What do you like? What law do you practice, et cetera?
Absolutely. So I have a very interesting career. I am now an insurance defense attorney. Started my legal career as a rent lawyer. I don't know if many people know what that means. What that means is I practiced law to pay rent back in the day, but wanted to.
Interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to actually become a specialist in a particular area. And I decided to go into tort litigation, and I started in subro. Subrogation is on the plaintiff's side of the V, representing insurance companies to recover dollars back. Did that in big firm life, and then moved into academia, and now back into practice and doing insurance defense work. So now I'm on the defense side, or the defendant side of the V, representing insurance companies.
Okay. And where are you doing this?
Tampa, Florida. Started out in the GA. Atlanta was where I started, and still love that city. But now I'm in Tampa watching it grow by leaps and bounds. And this is where I am now in Florida. So, yep, okay. I took another bar. A lot of people are like, oh my God, what are you thinking? Yeah, I sat for another bar.
Yeah, well, that must mean you love it. I actually like Tampa. I was just there not too long ago. My sister and I just decided to do some sightseeing and check out the city. I like the vibe. It's pretty cool. I definitely go back. So tell us about this fashion design thing. I mean, it's that's an interesting twist. That's why I wanted in the pre-intro, I wanted to talk about, because this is like no other meet the attorney interview I've had. So talk to me about that. I think that's an excellent story.
Oh, thank you. So I don't know how far back you want me to go when it comes to the idea. But so you tell me if you want me to go back. I'll just start at a certain point, which is, where did Observame come from? It came from an idea from a 15-mile run. I started running marathons when I came to Tampa. I was first running when I was in Georgia. I did the Peachtree Road Race because I needed to lose weight. And for mental health reasons, I started getting into running. So started running marathons, and on a 15-mile run, I was out with some friends, and it was cold, believe it or not, in Florida, and I realized I'd wrapped my watch on my sleeve because I needed to know how far we were going, my distance, my heart rate, and said, why in the world we don't have a hole in our sleeve? So one of the girls said, well, why don't you create it? I said, oh, well, I will. And so I did. Submitted it for patent. And then my attorney says to me, well, why don't you start making them yourself? And I was like, I'm a lawyer. Why would I make clothes? And I thought, well, why wouldn't I make clothes? So there again, just somebody planting a seed, and I poured water on it and started outsourcing it, and found a manufacturer, started making shirts. And then Observame was born. Observame means watch me in Spanish. And that's how I started creating the shirts. And I became a shirt peddler is how it all began.
That's an awesome story. I love it. I love it. Now, so the topic of this interview is women blasting through the proverbial glass ceiling. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I've, you know, there's a ton of, and there's a huge growth, I should say, in female attorneys. But I have a feeling that we're talking outside of that right now. Am I right?
I think so. I think that we're talking about entrepreneurs.
Okay.
But that applies to attorneys too. I think so. You know, I talked about that offline, where I think that a lot of women are solo practitioners. That's an entrepreneur.
Yes, yes.
A lot of women are in the C-suite. Mm-hmm. A lot of women are trying to get to partnership. They're associates. They're on partnership track. They are entrepreneurs. So I think we can talk about both at the same time.
Okay. So how you blast through that glass ceiling? What's your secret?
Oh my gosh. The biggest thing I tell mentees, and it resonates well, is you should be the last one to tell yourself no, because you're going to hear it quite a bit from men and sometimes women, because depending on their generation, they also believe you are not capable of doing bigger things or large things. So many times we will tell ourselves, especially women of color, that the answer is, I don't think I can do this because I don't have this capability. I don't have this pedigree. I don't have this background. So I'm not even going to apply or try. Mm-hmm. So the last thing you should do is tell yourself no. Let the person who has the capability to say no be the one to tell you that to your face. So that should be your motivator. Let fear be your motivator. A lot of things I did not know. And if I knew it at the time, I probably would not have done it. When it comes to whether it's practicing law, making some really bold decisions when it comes to handling a case, or even opening up a business, because we always think we need our T's crossed and our I's dotted. So be the last one to tell yourself no and get out there and be daring and be risky. Calculate your risk will be good.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. You know, one of the best advice I received when I was first, because I, as I told you offline, My family, none of us were ever entrepreneurs. We were all like, you know, get good grades in school, go to college so you can get a good job and you can, you know, live happily ever after, right? That was the mantra. And if you look down the line of all my family history, no one was an entrepreneur. So I kind of like broke through and I'm the only one. And one of the advice I found that helped me the most through that journey was, Frank, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Amen.
And I didn't understand it at the time, but I do now. Well, I do. I mean, several years later, I understood it. And it's like funny. Like I could never go back now. I'm so set into this entrepreneurial journey. But I'm assuming, you know, it's the same thing with what you're talking about for women.
It is. It's the same thing. Absolutely. And I think more so we see a lot of challenges as women because the deck many times it's set against you and the system is set up to doubt you. So when you, for example, even when you're looking for capital and you're pitching your business for capital, many people will ask you questions that is already built with doubt in the question. Are you sure you're the only owner? Are you sure you can do this? And the reason why I can say it's isolated many times to women, I can watch a man do the same exact pitch and they are more celebratory as to the idea coming from my male counterpart versus my business. And they'll say to him, well, in addition to what you presented to us, how can we help you do X, Y, and Z? So those are the type of questions that I see in those pitches or in response to those pitches versus mine is always, well, are you sure? What more do you have? Is there something else that you can bring to us that to reassure us that you're capable of reaching the goals that you've set, et cetera, and so forth. So you're always met with those doubts. For me, again, they're motivators. It allows for me to push harder and answer those questions with a smile on my face and recognizing that these are just things that I dealt with even as a young child. It just hasn't stopped as an adult. And you find ways, you find tools within your toolbox in order to overcome them. So you build your intellect by educating yourself well, whether you're doing your own research. I don't have an MBA, but I'm fully capable of developing business ideas. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways that you can educate yourself to overcome these issues or overcome the doubters. You're going to be doubted as soon as you come in the room. That's just the way it is, unfortunately, until 100%. Things change. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So true. So sad, but so true. So let's talk about Obsérvame for a little bit. That's an interesting brand. I love the story of how you came to it. Let's talk a little bit about that. What's the, you know, how long has that been out as a brand, as your brand?
It's been out as my brand since 2017.
Okay.
And I mentioned before I was a shirt peddler. So I started going to running events, Boston Marathon, setting up tables, Detroit Marathon, setting up tables. Tampa has a Gasparilla run. Mm-hmm. And I would sell my shirts. 2021 comes along. Mm-hmm. As everybody know, it happened in 2020. I decided to pivot and say, wait a minute, let me bring all my manufacturing in-house. Since we were running into supply chain issues, et cetera, my manufacturer was going out of business. I bought her equipment, opened up my own office, opened up my own shop, and started making them myself. But we as shoppers want a full outfit, is what we call it in a D. So I started developing around the top. So we have bottoms, we have capri pants, we have men performance pants, we're bringing out shorts. So it evolved and became a full line of athletic wear. But I didn't want it to just be about the clothing. It had to have a purpose and an understanding and a story. So the gear that we create and that I design it from the viewpoint as an athlete, because I want certain comforts. For example, when I ran this morning, I have a high waistband on my leggings because I want to engage my core. So those are the type of things that I incorporate into the designs. And it only comes from my ability and understanding as an athlete. So I incorporate that into our designs and push the company that way. So we sell exclusively e-commerce through our website. We sell overseas through a website called Wolf and Badger. And we have an opportunity that's coming up with Macy's to sell in their marketplace as well. So we're growing and getting into those retail spaces. And thank you. And excited about the growth of the company.
That's awesome. Awesome. Wow. Congratulations. Let's cheer you on and watch you take over. I mean, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, though. So as an attorney. Because you mentioned running, it looks, you know, you're definitely fit and everything. Cause I heard the story one time from a person who was a personal injury attorney. He was on this show, and one of the things that gets him motivated, I remember before he goes to trial and, you know, to try to get his customer or his client as much out of the insurance company as possible, is he goes out for a run, or he goes to the gym, or he does something physical, right? Mm-hmm. And it just like pumps the blood. He said it fills his brain up with ideas. And then he talks to the jury and he's like energized. But when he didn't do that, it was like a total different result. So you seem like you would agree with something like that, correct?
Absolutely. So before our interview today, I said, let me get my run out, because wow, I wanted to get my endorphins. Those are called endorphins. That's that chemical emission in the yes, brain that gets those, that blood flowing, get those thoughts going. I can conquer the world after a run. When I was teaching, same thing. I made sure I went for a run, and then I had to grab a cup of coffee, and you're just fired off with ideas. Your energy level is very different. You see life in a positive way. And I also, I'm very open about the fact that I suffer from depression, and I need those endorphins to fight back mm-hmm. the serotonin that's trying to overtake my thoughts and put me in more of a down mood opposed mm-hmm. to a happy mood. So I selfishly go after those endorphins to make sure that I can project a very positive image of myself, mm-hmm. provide positive thoughts, and give you information that I know will help others. And, right. and the only way, not the only way, but the most important way for me is by getting a run in and getting that sweat going and getting those thoughts.
You know, I'm flattered that you took the time out to get that run before this interview. So I'm very flattered. Thank you.
I take it seriously. You do a good job. I watched your show. You do a great job. I don't want to mess up.
So you know, it's funny. Something you said there. You know, thanks for being authentic and open. You know, are you familiar with Judge Lynn Tomler or Man, God, she's a judge. She had a TV show. I'm not sure if she still is divorce court or whatever. She openly says she suffers from depression. And I follow her on Instagram, and it's a pretty interesting thing how she overcomes it. And you know, everyone has their tools, so that's interesting. So thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
But let me ask you this: how do you find the time? I mean, because it's you're an attorney, right? And then you have this Observe My Brand, and you do these other things. What is your secret to finding the time? Because we're talking about, you know, breaking the glass ceiling for women entrepreneurs. But a lot of times breaking that glass ceiling is, you know, it comes with, you know, work, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we only have 24 hours in a day. So what is your secret to making sure that you're the best person that you can be for that day?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, guys, I hope you guys are enjoying today's content. While I have you on here, I want to introduce you to a promo that we have going on for the spring of 2024 for all legal practices throughout the U.S. I have an outstanding offer that we've never been able to offer before, but we want to do it because you have been an avid listener. We're only promoting this to people who listen to the show. So if you're an attorney and you are an avid listener to the show and you're thinking about possibly opening your own practice, you want to pay attention to this announcement. We are offering a full website with hosting, SSL certificate, online booking service, online appointment management, and more, and much, much more, with a 1-year maintenance, all for $2,250. That's $2,250 one-time fee, and you have a full-fledged website. If you want to know more about this, just give us a call at 888-416-7752 or send us an email at info@lbmsllc.com. Just make sure that you mentioned that you heard it on the show, and we'll definitely get you that discount. So with that, I'm going to bring you back to the content.
Because of the challenges that I observe coming up as a young child, to mm-hmm. a teen, to a young adult, to a full adult, I saw that I needed to be better than everybody around me. And the only way I could achieve that is getting up before the chickens, right? I could not be in bed at 9 o'clock thinking that I was going to accomplish anything. So my days start at 5. And the reason for that is I have to build in the time for meditation, for running, for prayer, to getting my mind into a good place in order for me to be productive and to create my plan for the day. So you have to be very strategic. You have to coordinate your efforts and build those building blocks and have a career plan. When I mentor people, the first thing I ask in the very first meeting is bring your journal and tell me what is your 6-month plan, and we're going to build back into it. Because it's like golf. When my brother taught me how to play golf, he told me, don't shoot for the green, you shoot for the first 150 yards or the first 75 yards. However your first shot goes, that's what you focus on. Because if you're trying to get around the bend, you'll never get there because you can't even see the pin yet. So that's what I tell them. Let's shoot for the first 30 days. So the way it starts is, how do you wake up in the morning? Are you up at 5 or are you up at 8? Are you up at 9? Are you after the business is already rolling, or are you up before the business opening? You're ready to make the call. So always be early, because on time is late. I used to lock my door, not lock it, but you couldn't come in my class after 9 o'clock. If class starts at 9, you should be in your seat at 8:55. Now, Dad always said, you're late if you're on time, because everything gets started at 9. Mm-hmm. So you have to get up early. You got to be ready, and you have to know more than your opposition or your competition. And the way you do that is be over-prepared, not just be prepared. You have to be over-prepared. And that's the way I was always taught. And that's how I run my business. That's how I run my practice. And that's how I practice law, is I am more than prepared for what's to come. And the only way I can do that is getting up early and getting ready and be prepared.
Outstanding. Well, thanks. Good, great, great advice. Glad I asked the question. So I'll give you an example. See, for me, that's real simple, because I am a morning person. I'm sharpest in the morning. You know, like, talk to me after 3 o'clock and I'm no good to you. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, but if you say, ask me a question, you know, 6 a.m. or whatever, I'm like, yep, I'm on it. So how would you advise someone who's not a morning person? I take my sister, for example. She is not a morning person, but after 2 o'clock, she's sharp as a whip. How do you advise that?
The way because I have family members similar to that, you would have to have a business or a practice. Maybe you practice international law, where mm-hmm. your clients are in a time zone where it's 2 o'clock here, where you're on fire and it's morning there. So you develop a practice, or do you develop a business idea that is conducive to the lifestyle that you want to live, in the lifestyle that you can make be your best person. So if you are an afternoon person, don't develop an idea or a business that's going to require you to be on fire in the morning. Not everybody can. And that I understand. For example, you might be on the speaking circuit, but you tell people, I will only speak in your afternoon sessions, because you know that that's when you can perform the best. Mm-hmm. So there are ways around it. Not everybody is going to be that morning person. But if you are in an industry that works your typical 9 to 5, you're going to have to make some physical changes in order to be successful at it. I can't mm-hmm. imagine practicing law, traditional law, and waking up at 1 o'clock thinking that the court's going to wait for me. And I would tell my students that I just don't see the court waiting for you. So you have to figure out how best to change your lifestyle. Go to bed earlier.
Right.
In order for you to get up earlier. I had a contractor who would say to me, I want to come in at 7. Well, the way you come in at 7 is you got to go to bed at 9, which means you're getting up at 5. So, mm-hmm. and she finally was able to do it, but it was a slow transition. I told her, I said, take it in small bites, do it on a Monday, then add a Tuesday, then add mm-hmm. a Wednesday, but don't just try to go a full week. You're going to be totally exhausted, but you just do it in small bites at a time. But it's because I saw her do it, I think people are capable of doing it if they decide that that's what they want to do.
Yeah, it's a decision. Now, the reason I asked you that question is because when you were talking about you know, going through the glass ceiling and, you know, what's the process of it. And you were talking about, you know, the morning routine. Although this is a podcast and I can't see anyone, but I can envision people listening to this and saying, ooh, that's not me. So I wanted to give you opportunity to give them an alternative. So that's why he's asked that question.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, because I do have members of the family who they sleep in till 11.
Yeah,
but her business allows for her to do that, which it works for her. And as long as it works for you, then that's fine. But if not, you're going to have to make some bold changes.
Yeah, I think one of one of the biggest issues that I have right now with my current girlfriend is when we're on vacation, I'm up at 5:30. And she's like, we're on vacation. Why are you up so early? I don't know. Maybe we want to walk the beach. We want to do this. You know, we're on vacation. You know, I said, I know. But my body thinks we're still, you know. Anyway, so that's one of, not an issue, but it's one of the biggest challenges that we have when we go away.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to turn off. So what I would do, I'm about as bad as you, it sounds like, I would get up. And if my husband would sleep, I would work while he sleep, get some stuff out the way. Then I know he's going to rise around 8. Then we can go to breakfast and I've got 3 hours of work out the way, or I ran to the gym and got it done. So I'm guilty as well, because it's hard to turn it off.
I was just thinking about something. I was like, man, me work at that time on vacation will bring in another set of issues. So I'll just continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that.
You're going to be like, you bring your laptop.
Anyway. My laptop is always on my hip. It
used to be that way, but as I said before, I'm a recovering workaholic, so I no longer bring my laptop on vacation. So
good.
Awesome. You mentioned some goals that you have with Obsérvame. Do you have like some ties to it? Like, do you have like, you know, these are my 5-year goals. This is my 3-year goal with this. You know, do you want to go? I know you're going international already, but like, what? Give me some of your goals as to how you want to take that brand.
I would love to take the brand international, over into South Africa, actually, over into the African continent. And the reason why is that is a market that is not, I think, it's untapped to some degree when it comes to American products. And I don't think that people give it the credit that it deserves in terms of how it can help catapult a brand or catapult consumer products. So I that's one of the goals that I have, is to get into the South African region of that continent. Or the southern part of that continent. Other goal that I have is want it to be a household name. In competition with Lululemon, that's the quality of the brand. That's the price point of the brand. I don't apologize for the price point, because I provide the quality that people look for when it comes to athletic wear. And I want to, number three, of course, make it a profitable brand and a profitable business. And at the same time, showing that you're still capable of working in your practice area, because I still practice law, and also developing a successful company at the same time. I believe that it's possible. And
you're living proof. You're doing it.
Yeah. And that's another one of those pieces of glass that's being chipped away.
I still don't think you answered my question. How are you doing 24 hours? But we'll leave that aside. But continue. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I mean, you maximize every minute in your day, honestly. Right. And I think it comes from being trained as a billable lawyer. I don't know for you, I still look at the clock to see how long it takes me to do certain things. That just comes from billing. I've always had to bill my time as an attorney. So because of that training over the last 25 years or 25 plus years in law, I realized that every second counts. And I try to make every second mean something. Of course, you'd have moments of rest and moments of relaxation. You have to work that in order to have balance. But every waking moment, I try to make it a successful day. And then I rest, and then I get it in another day. So I have identified on one day a week, Sundays are me days. That's just all me. I do whatever I want. It's no business. It's just if I choose to do something business oriented, I will. But for the most part, I try to pick one day where it's just really about me.
Mm. You know, that leads me to the next question that I'm actually cringing to ask you based on the personality I'm feeling that you have. Do you have any hobbies?
Running. That's my hobby. I run. Hobby.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I should have known. Gotcha. Okay. And I mean, so you run every morning, what 5 miles, 1 mile, 2 miles?
So it depends, right? So of course, Saturdays are long run days. That could be 5 to 6 miles. I'd stop running marathons because I want my hips and knees to work in the next 20 years. So I don't put as much or as many miles on them. So I do 3.5 miles is the shortest distance that I'll run during the week. And then my weekend runs are usually 5 to 6 miles.
Mm. Okay. Awesome.
So at least 20 miles a week, which is low actually, but mm-hmm. I try to do at least 20 miles a week to maintain.
It's funny. She said, which is low actually. She says it so humbly. All right, so this has been really, really, really great, Karen. I really, really thank you for coming on. This is definitely a different version of Meet the Attorney that I've ever had. But I applaud you and your success. You're a successful lawyer, you're a successful entrepreneur, and I think you're going to open a lot of paths for a lot of people, or you have been opening a lot of paths, I should say, for a lot of people who think, hey, it's not possible. And you're showing them that it is possible. And I'm hoping by the distribution of this podcast, it'll reach other people that will try to reach out to you and say, hey, how can you help me do this? But before I let you go, is there anything that I did not ask you that you think would benefit the audience?
I do. Just one thing is I learned when I went to a conference a long time ago from an executive who was a VP or a senior VP at an insurance company, and he was speaking. It was a keynote. And one thing that I walked away with that resonated, he said, people asked him because he was leaving the company to go to another company, and they asked mm-hmm. him, but you're doing so well there. And that was your dream job. Why would you leave? And he says, because I have another dream. And I Ooh. Walked away. Right? I walked away from that conference just saying to myself, I can have more than one dream. It was just such a profound statement that I never thought about. My parents were born in the early 1900s. So I was taught one dream, one job, one house, retire, and that's you go off to the sunset. And when I heard him say that, I thought, man, I can be more than just an attorney. I never thought I could be more than a lawyer. And that's when I started thinking, do I want to be a judge? Do I want to be a professor? What do I want to do? And I continue to evolve as a person to this day. So I share with your audience to say, never stop dreaming and continue to evolve.
Now that is the perfect ending to an outstanding podcast. I thank you, Karen. You are a gift to this world. Thank you for coming. I cannot wait to distribute this to the audience because I think they're going to get a lot out of it. So with that, I'm going to put an end to this episode. This has been Frank Deming, the local business guy. You've just been blessed by the great, and I say that really truthfully, the great Karen Foltz. Take care, everyone. Until next week. So.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms, the podcast that provides you with all the latest digital marketing tools, tips, and strategies you will need to implement in order to stay ahead of your competition. If you would like to know more about the topic we discussed in the show today, reach out to Frank and his team at 888-416-7752 and schedule a discovery call with one of the marketing consultants. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, send an email to podcast@lbmsllc.com and we will put you on the schedule. With that being said, until next week, make it a successful digital marketing day. Peace out.